Get ready for a journey into the heart of Bridgeport politics with In Absentia, a new podcast from Connecticut Public's investigative team, The Accountability Project. Learn about the city's past and present political dysfunction and the systems that enable it. Tune in wherever you get your podcasts.
Funding provided by Francisco L. Borges and the Melville Charitable Trust.
Wouldn't it be cool to do a whole show about the missed connections section of Craigslist? We could talk to a guy who studied over 10,000 of these ads and hear what he found.
It was a weirdly touching experience to interact with this analysis.
And what if two Tony-nominated songwriters took those ads and turned them into musical numbers?
We edited them, obviously, for the songs, but we did not make up anything. Everything was exactly from these posts.
We should definitely talk with people who've posted with success and not so much success.
And like 2 months or so later, I received an email through Craigslist from the hairstylist.
No results, which is typical.
No, I didn't hear back.
All that and the key to making your missed connections post memorable. I'm Kyone Wolf. That's coming up next on Audacious, right after the news. From Connecticut Public Radio in Hartford, this is Audacious. I'm Kyone Wolf. Has this ever happened to you? You're heading into your favorite restaurant to pick up an order of ramen, and on the way out, an attractive person wearing an NPR hoodie walks out, and you see the logo, and you reflexively say, "Hey, I love NPR, especially Audacious." And the person in the hoodie goes, "Yeah, I love NPR too, and Audacious is meh, but I do love fresh air." And because you're available to date, you're doing some quick calculations, right? Like, okay, they like NPR, that says a lot of great things about them, cool. But they're not a huge fan of Audacious, so that's a big, fat strike. But then again, Terry Gross is pretty great, so that says something too. And while you're doing all these calculations, Hoodie's back in their car, blasting All Things Considered as they glide out the parking lot. So you pick up your ramen, head home, pull up Craigslist.com, and open up a fresh new post to missed connections. The empty title line stares at you. You think this could be the beginning of something. Hoodie could read it and be like, "It's them, it's the one who likes Audacious and ramen, OMG. Or they could read it and be like, "Who does this Audacious loving punk think they are, thinking a Fresh Air fan would ever go out with them?" Or absolutely nothing could happen. That's the vibe of missed connections. And on today's show, we're talking to people who've posted to it with varying degrees of success. They've made musicals out of it, and they've studied the hell out of it. Like Ilya Blinderman. He's a senior journalist engineer at The Pudding, which is a collective of researchers who aim to explain ideas debated in culture with visual essays. In 2015, he studied data from over 10,000 Craigslist missed connections ads. I had a lot of questions for Ilya, but the first one was, why?
I've got a background in academic research. I studied psychology. I got a master's in psychiatry. And for the longest time, I've been fascinated by the fact that people often say things about themselves that don't necessarily reflect their underlying motivations.
Yeah.
We come across this sort of thing very frequently in psych studies. And I thought that Craigslist missed connections would be a perfect opportunity to study how people really feel about a really interesting and generally really affecting topic. Because this is kind of the place where people make themselves as vulnerable as possible. We all know how difficult it is to tell someone that you've got a romantic interest in them. And this is this strange hub where everyone is doing nothing but that. So I was really just intrigued by the possibility of mining that vein from a data standpoint.
And you looked into so many, you looked into a bunch of cities, you looked into time of day, you looked into, you know, words people used, at least perceived gender. What were some of the big takeaways from this research?
I had expected that, for example, New York would be the place where everyone would be writing missed connections because you see people on the subway all the time. You're intermixing with people much more than you do in cities where everyone's a driver. And sure, New York had significant numbers, but surprisingly enough, Dallas was the city that had the greatest number of misconnections per capita. And I'm not quite sure why. Different cities also had different times where people tended to post. LA was, for some reason, like the frequency was Monday afternoons was really the day, whereas Dallas, again, was kind of all over the place, like later in the afternoons at the start of the week, and then Sunday was a really big day. Somewhat expectedly, I found that men tended to post a lot more missed connections than women. And there's some research that suggests that any sort of interaction men typically have with women results in the impression that, oh, perhaps there's a, you know, so you're saying there's a chance that that famous Dumb and Dumber line, whereas women don't really have that sort of impression when they interact with men. So on average, I'd say it was three postings by men for every posting created by a woman. You'd find that the types of misconnections, so men looking for women, women looking for men, women looking for women, and men looking for men. I think I've got all of those.
Well, except for non-binary and trans people.
Yeah, exactly. This is 2015 where you didn't quite have a fine-grained taxonomy on misconnections. And you'd find that men posting tended to be a little bit older, from anywhere from around 33 to 37 years old. Women tended to be in their mid-20s to early 30s.
And this is only the ones in which you could find this information out, like they said.
Yeah, absolutely. And kind of the caveat here is, look, all data is flawed to some degree. And so these are my best guesses at what's actually happening. You know, maybe everyone out there is just pretending to be 25-year-old women. Maybe there are no women posting on those connections, but I guess that it's not very likely. But men tended to post shorter messages overall. Women tended to write a little bit more. There's so many nuances here that we could just kind of keep going, but it was a tremendously rich data set and a really interesting look at the generalized behavior of all of these groups. So it was kind of a weirdly touching experience to interact with this analysis.
There were about 10,000 posts, yeah, that you looked at?
There were.
So yep. Among those 10,000 Craigslist missed connection posts, I bet you're probably the person in the world who's seen the most besides the algorithms behind Craigslist. Did any one of them stand out to you in any way?
You know, when I think back to working on the analysis, not so much. But I will say that after I'd published the piece, a number of people had reached out to me and said, you know what? I know you say throughout the text that you're not aware of any of these relationships necessarily panning out, but this is how I met my wife. Here's a picture of us with our kids and our dog. And it was a really moving experience because, you know, people not only connect with the work that you're doing, but they're saying, hey, like, here is the outcome of all of this vulnerable searching for romance and connection out there. So I think the flurry of emails that people sent afterwards justifying the need for misconnections, it was something that was really heartening for me.
Well, Ilya Blinderman, thank you so much for talking with me.
Thank you.
Ilya wrote about those 10,000 Craigslist missed connections for Vox, and we're going to hear from him again at the end of the show. After reading all of those ads, he'll give you some advice on how to make one that'll stand out. Another way to set the stage for you, in a manner of speaking, is to look at how these missed connections ads are also kind of a perfect representation of the human spirit, right? Full of promise and risk, desire and, well, melody? Anthony King and Scott Brown are both Tony and Emmy-nominated writers, whose work you may know from Beetlejuice the musical and Gutenberg the musical. What they're only slightly less known for are their musical interpretations of missed connections ads.
to the guy I caught masturbating in his car in the parking garage. I wasn't as put off as I may have seemed. I mean, I was put off. But you don't look like the scumbag type, and you were probably just as scared as me.
I'll let Scott Brown explain, and then you'll hear from Anthony King.
We actually grew up together in North Carolina and then later moved to New York and were roommates. And then we weren't roommates, but we were still wacky media, theater, comedy people in a time when that was like the Wild West in New York. And Anthony was artistic director of the Upright Citizens Brigade Theater, which was
kind of a big deal.
Yeah, literally an underground comedy club.
Literally underground. At that time, actually underground. Underground.
The best ones are, yeah.
And in this kind of dank space, like all kinds of crazy things were happening. And one of the crazy things that happened was our friend Charlie Todd put together a show that was just about basically stuff he found on Craigslist. And he talk to us about.
He put out a call for people to send in comedy sketches on Craigslist, and of course got insane submissions. And then we performed them on stage word for word. And so for that show, this is where this idea came from, was what else can we do from Craigslist?
Right. Like here's this crazy stuff. And at the time, Anthony and I had written a musical together. And so we were like, well, we could make songs out of it. So we just sort of took the text of some of these wackier personal ads and misconnections and casual encounters, all where the sort of wilder and woolier stuff was on Craigslist, and just found ones that we thought were funny and started just seeing if they suggested some melodies, and then, you know, just did some rinky-dink music with it.
We edited them obviously for the songs, but we did not make up anything. Like, everything was exactly from these posts.
Considering you're on public radio, we have a similar sense of you can't make this stuff up, and you don't want to make this stuff up.
Exactly.
And that's what makes it so special. And some of the songs are, you know, they're titled from the subject lines of the posts, like to the guy I caught masturbating in the parking garage. You dropped your Bible. Scott, you did a lot of the heavy lifting on the making of the music for this, and the compositions are quite lovely. I'd like to hear about that process. When you would choose a post, like, say, you dropped your Bible.
I saw your thong. You dropped your Bible. I saw your thong.
I saw your thong.
You dropped your Bible.
When you saw that post, did the melody and the vibe of it just come right to you, or did it come like, you know, after an extended ayahuasca trip? Like, how did the music and the melody come to you?
I wish we'd had ayahuasca at that time. I think it was, we were more limited. We were so young.
We didn't have a shaman. We needed a shaman.
You do need a shaman, that's true. You don't want to do that without a shaman.
If we had posted on Craigslist, it would have been seeking shaman and better drugs. For that one, for Drop the Bible, that one definitely came out of a conversation Anthony and I had. It just immediately became a revival song, like a gospel song of some kind. It was like there was absolutely, I mean, the Bible was already there, but there's even kind of a rhythm to it that was like, I mean, I think we just started singing it to each other over the phone. It was just like, you dropped your Bible, I saw your song, I saw your song. And like, I mean, it's like it's obviously that's it. Anthony was lead vocals on that one too, I think, reaching back to his Southern Baptist roots.
I grew up in church, so it was very comfortable to come. Not a lot of thongs in my church, but
now when I listen to these songs, I think like this is not just an afternoon on a Casio keyboard. Like these, that you put some production value into this, and I know that, you know, you've written musicals, Beetlejuice, of course, there's Gutenberg. This couldn't have been just a lightweight project you knocked out in an afternoon. Was it more than you bargained for to do this project, or not? Was it worth it?
This is where Scott really did do the heavy lifting, because I would just go, sounds great, can't wait to hear it.
We need a longer fade out at the end. That's it. Yeah.
That's right.
I mean, now that I have two children, there's really nothing in the world like not having two children in terms of time.
you know, there was so much free time, and the idea of like the community we were in was just this kind of like, everything was like found object art. It was just like, what can you kind of harvest from this crazy city and this crazy world and turn into something? And you just ended up staying up half the night messing with songs and stuff like that. And GarageBand was new. I mean, I didn't even know Pro Tools or anything like that. It was very rinky dink, but
I do think we were lucky that now, obviously, there's TikTok. There's so much social media to get instant gratification from posting things like that. When we were making these, that was not the case. Some people were making money on YouTube, but it wasn't what it is now. But we did have a stage, and we had this comedy community and people we could get that gratification from. So that helped give us a reason to not just pour effort into things that were like, well, we like it. No one will ever see it. Like, we at least had a small feedback loop.
Yeah. What we lacked in the TikTok tools, we made up for in actual people in a very smelly room.
And we would be so huge on TikTok right now.
You really think so? I'm saving that for when I'm 50.
I'm wondering, because you know, fire hosed your attention for a certain amount of time back in the day on this project, have you ever been tempted to post in Missed Connections yourself personally?
Oh, 1,000,000%. I mean, I don't want to speak for Anthony here, but I would say that everything we have ever made fun of, we probably identified with more than we.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You have to.
100%. Because that was the other side of like staying up all night messing around with a song is like, you are also obviously very lonely. You're obviously,
to me, the pathos and yearning of all of these posts are what make them interesting. Like, the details are insane, but there's just like a tragedy at the center of it, or at least, and but coupled with hope that there is someone out there who wants to do what these people are looking for. And now, of course, you can go on Reddit and there's a community for all these things. But at that time, there wasn't. There's people. I just imagine people sitting around going, I have this yearning and I have no idea if anyone else shares it. But, and so Missed Connections and the Craigslist was a place to go throw a fishing line out into the world that we, you know, now we have many more opportunities to find those people.
But there's something too about like the idea of missed connections, the idea that you can go to the laundromat and lock eyes with somebody and you leave the laundromat and you're thinking about it still. And you think, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to post on Missed Connections. I just want to see if that happens. Like,
yeah,
that sort of that yearning, right?
Yeah. And that it worked for some people is amazing. It's like miraculous.
And it's the essence of all musicals too. I mean, it's definitely like, it was a certain time when the internet seemed magical instead of gross. And it was still gross.
Well, magical and gross, but yeah.
It was still gross. Yeah. It was still gross. But it seemed, it was gross, but it hadn't become, the disgustingness of it had not been codified into these like little tribes and Reddit groups and everything else. There was still something kind of charming about it. And it was like, it made the world and the city at the time like just kind of like a crazy romantic musical, like exactly what you would want things to be, where happenstance turns into romance. And like, you,
well, and we do talk about, when you're writing a musical, musicals more than any other like narrative art form, I think, have center on a character with a gigantic want. And we talk about in musicals the I Want song, which is usually or a song early in the show where that character just lays out in a way that you can't, if you aren't hearing the inner thoughts of a character, exactly what it is that they're searching for. And that's kind of what all these songs are to some degree, are just big I want songs filtered through the internet.
Right. Like, a song is how you access a character's inner monologue. And that's what Craigslist was doing too. It was accessing an inner monologue that, you know, it was exciting to hear that id given voice, you know. And now, of course, it's less exciting because the id is always there.
The id's more angry now.
Yeah. The id's running for Congress. The id's, yeah.
There's the other side of it too, which is the person who's going to Missed Connections to see if anyone's looking for them.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's very true.
Which may or may not be me. I will neither confirm nor deny this.
Oh, it was definitely me between the years 2002 and 2008 or whatever.
I can only imagine that thrill if you're reading one and realizing that it's you. I don't even know what to compare that feeling to, that someone is realizing that you're the person they're talking about, and the fear mixed with excitement of
that. Well, Anthony King, Scott Brown, thank you so much for talking with me.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks for having us.
When we get back, stories from people who've posted on Missed Connections.
You got to try like gambling or gold digging or the stock market. It's all just a crapshoot.
If my situation were different, like I totally would have given him my number. And I had no way of telling him that. Craigslist was the only way I knew how. So I just kind of put it out into the universe.
Lo and behold, he found it. He wrote back to me. I wrote back to him. And he was my hairstylist for a number of years thereafter, all thanks to Craigslist.
Plus, one missed connection turns into a marriage. I'm Kyone Wolf. This is Audacious. Stay with me.
You drop your Bible. Oh, holy Bible, holy Bible.
I saw
if you did
your
ever loving
thong.
Support for this podcast comes from Hartford Healthcare.
Elevating Health is funded by Hartford Healthcare. Hartford Healthcare recently celebrated the opening of the Ridge Recovery Center in Windham. Christy Scott, Vice President of Clinical Operations, describes this new state-of-the-art destination for healing.
Individuals will come if they're suffering from substance use disorder and get individualized treatment. They can stay up to 3 to 4 weeks and receive family therapy, individual therapy, group therapy, and lots of other holistic care like yoga, trail walking, acupuncture. So it's going to be a great place for people to come and heal.
For those seeking recovery, finding it close to home can sometimes be challenging.
Many individuals travel to Florida and other states that have more treatment centers, so we're hoping by doubling our capacity at Hartford Healthcare, the individuals can stay in their home state with their family and support systems close by.
To learn more, go to ctpublic.org/elevatinghealth.
This is Audacious. I'm Kyone Wolf. This whole episode is inspired by the missed connections section of Craigslist. You know, where people post stuff like, we made eye contact when you were on the crosswalk at Woodland in Asylum. What up, cutie? If it's you, tell me what color car I drive. Or you came to my restaurant and your order was supposed to have asparagus. Sorry about that. I'd love to take another order from you sometime, but next time you'll get extra asparagus. My producer, Jessica, and I combed through ads from both here in Connecticut and across the country to see if we could get someone who posted to talk with us. We replied to over 50 missed connections ads using subject lines like, I'm not the cutie at the crosswalk, but, or I'm not the asparagus person, but, and, well, crickets. Except for these two. Vince Clortho, which I know you know this, but I'll remind you, is a reference to the Ghostbusters character, also known as the Keymaster, a demigod and minion of Gozer alongside Zool, and it's also the pseudonym of our guest. Although, wouldn't it be cool if the Keymaster posted a missed connections ad? Saw a key waiting in line at the ATM. Get at me, cutie. Vince lives in Colchester, Connecticut, and he posted on missed connections after an encounter at a laundromat. I asked him what happened.
I was in between loads, dragging the wet stuff to the dryer. And as I was walking in, I caught the eye of someone across the laundromat, and she didn't look away like most people normally would or do. So I looked at her and she was still looking at me, and I continued on doing what I was doing, and later thought about it and thought I should throw something up online and see what happened.
Now, did she leave first or did you leave first?
I left first. I think she was folding laundry or maybe loading the machine. I couldn't quite see, but she stood out being taller than everyone else. And I guess that was the key to catching her eye.
Now, why didn't you say something before you left?
Normally, I do laundry either early in the morning or late at night to avoid a cram-packed laundromat and being around people right now is obviously not the thing to do. I have other things going on, running errands and such. So actually, I was in the middle of doing my hour-long workout. I throw a load in, do a half-hour walk, change the load, and then go for another hour walk or half-hour walk. And it didn't seem like a good time to strike up a conversation.
Now, when you got home after your walk and you thought, all right, I'm going to do this thing, I'm going to post on Miss Connections. Had you ever done this before, posting on Miss Connections?
No results, which is typical. But, you know, you got to try like gambling or gold digging. It's or the stock market. It's all just a crapshoot. So.
You can't win if you don't play.
Yeah, exactly.
How much did you think about her after you posted this?
It was on my mind in the back. I guess a little more than usual, but you know that might be because of the pandemic and everyone's lonely and not doing anything. So what else do you have to think about?
And I may be projecting here. In fact, I probably am. It's one of my favorite things to do. But I love a good story, especially a meet cute story, like, you know, seeing someone at the laundromat and posting on Miss Connections and, you know, maybe they see it and that's the beginning of our story, right? Capital S story. And I'm curious about how much you think of it that way too, you know, like this is just a really cool way. If she writes back, if she's someone who would be significant in your life later, how much of posting on Miss Connections is also like, well, this would be a cool part of our story?
I can see the attraction there and how people would romanticize that. I'm not sure I'm one of those people. I've never done the online dating thing and stuff like that. I grew up in a time where there was a stigma behind it, and that's changed very quickly. But I don't know if my opinion of that has changed a whole lot. But I'm thinking about trying it more and more, so that might change. It doesn't have the same stigma like it used to, so maybe someone can convince me of seeing it another way if it works out. I don't know. Maybe.
Well, Vince Clortho, thank you so much for being brave and talking to me.
Oh, sure. Thank you for the chance.
This next Missed Connections ad caught my eye. It read, "You said I had nice eyes and noticed my hiking boots. I was taken aback, but flattered. I definitely would have given you my number if the situation were different, and I wanted you to know. But I'm sure you won't see this." I wrote to this person, and Alex Ferrante, pseudonym again, and you'll see why, got back to me. She lives in the Washington, D.C. metro area, and I asked her to tell me what led up to her posting this ad.
So it was a Saturday, like right the week after New Year's, right? It was like January and bleak, and Omicron was like raging. We hadn't left the house in weeks because of that and snow, and like my kid had been home for daycare and snow and all that. So we just hadn't left the house. And I also, right before Christmas, had a miscarriage. And it was my second one in a row. So I was just like really very, very sad. And so my husband and I were trying to, you know, figure out what was going on and what to do. So I had gone to the doctor the day before and the doctor had no answers. And we had started going to like learn about adoption and like that. Just realized it was going to be a long process and talk to family about like fostering from adoption, which is something we had talked about. And we had talked to them that morning and realized like, hey, that's like a really, really hard path. Like it wasn't off the table, but it's a really hard path. So that was like the day I had. So after we had that call with this family that we know about adopting from foster care, took a nap and then I went to the grocery store. And I like cried on the way over there because I'm just been really sad. So I get there and I'm just picking groceries and I noticed some guy who's kind of looking at me, but I thought it was because I was kind of struggling with my groceries. I didn't have a quarter for the cart. So I was putting all my groceries in bags and then they were getting heavier and I was kind of struggling. So I thought he was just noticing me struggling. And then a little bit later on the other side of the store, he approached me and he said, "Excuse me, you know, you have really nice eyes. And I noticed your hiking boots." And I don't remember if he said anything after that, but then I realized what was happening. And it's just so out of the realm of anything that like ever happens. And certainly that happens to me now in this phase of my life, and certainly how I was feeling. And so I just looked at him and said, "Oh, I'm married and have a kid." And then he looked really embarrassed and said, "Oh," and I said, "Yeah, it's been a while." And then he kind of walked away. And that was the extent of the encounter.
And then you went home and posted on Missed Connections that you said, "I definitely would have given you my number if the situation were different. And I wanted you to know." Why?
Yeah, a couple reasons. I lived in New York, in Brooklyn, right after college. And in my mind, before I moved there, like that was how I was going to meet someone. Like I had a fantasy that I would meet someone in the grocery store. Like that's what I feel like, you know, you watch romantic comedies and that was like a very specific fantasy of mine. It was always over like a cantaloupe or a grapefruit or something, like a weird vegetable. Like someone would ask me what a rutabaga was. I don't know.
It's your meet cute story.
Exactly. And it never happened, right? Because dating is hard and dating in New York is really hard. It never, ever happened. And then like, it kind of happened like when I was in this really sad place and at the wrong time in my life. And I don't know. So it like really meant something to me. And I felt bad that he felt embarrassed. Like I didn't want him to go home and feel like, "Oh, I totally blew it. That was so embarrassing. This married lady." Like I wanted him to feel encouraged and I wanted him to know that like, actually, it did mean something to me. And if my situation were different, like I totally would have given him my number. And I had no way of telling him that. So I don't know. Craigslist was the only way I knew how. So I just kind of put it out into the universe. And, you know, I knew he wouldn't see it, but it just seemed like the only thing I could do. So I did it.
Did you tell your husband about it?
It's funny. I told one friend, and that was the first question he asked too. I didn't tell my husband. I think, you know, if it were a different situation, I could come back and say like, "Oh, I got hit on the grocery store," and it would have been a funny story. But like this kind of just felt too like close. It just like had to be something that I kept for myself. So I didn't tell him any of this.
Since you posted it and you haven't heard back, right?
No, I didn't hear that.
How much do you think about this?
Like a good amount in the past couple of days, certainly a lot in the few days after. Yeah, it just kind of shocked me out of my system and my grief a little bit. It just reminded me of this person I was like when I was younger, like a decade ago. And then it made me think like, well, I'll be someone else 10 years in the future. And, you know, at that point, my kid will be older. And, you know, I've been like very much in this parenting mode for the past couple of years, and it's kind of all consuming. And so these pregnancy losses felt like very devastating. It felt like this is my whole world. And if I can't be a parent again, like it just felt, just devastating. And so it seemed like this very brief encounter sort of reminded me like, well, you were someone else before and you'll be someone else again. And like, if this doesn't happen, you know, you'll just like fill the space with other things and like, maybe it'll be okay. And it obviously didn't like fix everything, but I don't know. It just, I think gave me like a little bit of a glimmer of something, of a little perspective or something.
If you could connect with this person and say something to him, what would you say to him?
I'd say that what he did like really just made me feel seen. And I really appreciated that. Like he put himself out there and made himself vulnerable. And I don't know, that wasn't like for nothing. You know, I felt the whole time that he was embarrassed, and I just wanted him to know that it was actually like really kind what he did. And I just had no other way to convey that.
Well, Alex Ferrante, thank you for telling me your story. I'm sorry for your loss, and I really appreciate that you're brave to tell me all of it. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Finally, this next one is a friend of mine. Allison Holst Gruby from Manchester saw me posting on the social medias about how my producer and I had been emailing missed connections all day, which, by the way, what a sweet gig we've got going on here, right? And she wrote me saying, hey, I was reunited with my long-lost hairstylist on Missed Connections. What?
Yes. So many years ago, I found randomly a hairstylist who I really liked. It was at a Cost Cutters, Supercuts, one of the chains. I can't remember which. And it probably helps that I can't malign them now through this interview because I don't know who it was. And I had a stylist who I really, really loved. And I went to make my, you know, every 3-4 month haircut appointment, and I requested Matt, and the receptionist said, oh, he doesn't work here anymore. And I was so sad, and they wouldn't give me his information. And I did not have his direct phone number at this time. I always made appointments through the salon. So I already was a big Craigslist missed connections fan. I just, as a hobby over the years, I've loved to read them. I mean, most of them do seem to be sketchy men hitting on women into the void in the internet, but occasionally there's a story that I would see that I'd really root for. So I thought, why not? I'll try to find my hairstylist on missed connections. So I just wrote up an ad describing him, describing myself, describing where he worked. And I said, please, if you're out there, contact me. I need someone who can cut my wavy hair. And like 2 months or so later, I received an email through Craigslist from Matt, from the hairstylist. He had opened up his own shop in East Windsor and didn't have my personal information, so couldn't let me know. But a woman who worked at the gas station down the street from his salon read my ad. She, like me, apparently enjoyed perusing Missed Connections as a hobby and read the description of Matt and said, I think this is Matt from down the street. So she showed him the ad, and lo and behold, he found it. He wrote back to me. I wrote back to him. And he was my hairstylist for a number of years thereafter, all thanks to Craigslist.
For those who have thought about posting on Missed Connections for whatever reason, and they're not quite sure if they should, what would you say to them?
Do it. I mean, in my case, there was no romantic angle at all. So if I didn't hear back from the person, I would never feel a sense of shame or embarrassment. In this case, it worked out. But even for those who do post for romantic purposes, if you don't hear back, you don't hear back. You never get a direct rejection, right? That's better.
Those are the best.
Those are the best. And maybe you will hear back. And I think ultimately it's, I don't want to say healing, but I think it can be very just good for us to express our thoughts and feelings and put them out into the void, because you never know who might read them. It may not be the person you're seeking for whatever your purpose is, but someone else like me will read your ad and be hopeful, and years later be inspired to write their own to find the person that they're looking for. And it might be their hairstylist.
And talk about it on public radio.
Yes, why not? In fact, I lost touch with Matt again. Maybe he will hear this episode and will call in. Who knows?
Well, Allison Holst Gruby, thank you for telling me your story.
Thank you, Kion.
After the break, what if it all works out?
I was just browsing around one night, and then boom, there it was, Matt and Dan, the architects. And I just was like, what? That's gotta be me. I'm an architect. My friend Matt's an architect.
I'm Kion Wolf. This is Audacious. Be right back.
Found myself in a conversation from a missed connection. Standing in a purple dress. Point my eyes in the right direction. Find myself in a conversation from a missed connection.
You're listening to the new investigative reporting podcast, In Absentia, which means you're interested in getting to the facts and uncovering the truth. If you'd like to help us continue our investigative work, consider making a donation. Visit ctpublic.org/tapsupport and contribute today. That's ctpublic.org/tapsupport. Thank you for being a part of the Accountability Project.
Join Connecticut Public and Fairfield County's Community Foundation for the In Community Speaker Series, May 2nd, featuring New York Times Magazine journalist Nicole Hannah Jones, creator of the 1619 Project. Jones will talk about her work covering racial injustice and the legacy of slavery on our culture, our politics, and our institutions. The event starts at 6:30 p.m. at District Music Hall in Norwalk. Tickets at ctpublic.org/speakerseries.
This is Audacious. I'm Kyone Wolf. Today we're hearing stories from the missed connections section of Craigslist, and, you know, sometimes these things work out. I mean, most of the time, yeah, it's radio silence, and you feel an eerie and lingering sensation of suspense and foundational disappointment and despair about the changing nature of human connections, and will I ever be fully seen? Will I ever really love and be loved? What is this life? But sometimes it really works out. Aaron and Dan Kotke from Minnesota are celebrating their 15th wedding anniversary this year. They have two kids, and they met. Well, I'll have Aaron take you back.
We were both at a concert. It was a band called Band of Horses, and I was there by myself, and Dan was there with his friend Matt, friend and former coworker. Yeah. And I started talking to Matt because I had actually seen him at another concert just a few days earlier, and he looked like this guy that I sort of knew in college. And so I decided I'm going to talk to him, and then I met Dan. And so we hung out a little bit at the concert. We talked a little bit. And at the end of the show, when we were, you know, filing out, we both claimed we were trying to look for each other. Dan says, I waited for you.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Because what happened during the concert was at one point, so we were talking before the show. And then at one point, Aaron said, I'm going to go move closer to the stage. And me and my friend Matt kind of hung back. And I figured, oh, after the show, we'll, you know, look around and see if we can reconnect. And so after the show ended, my friend Matt and I, we just went straight outside and waited by the doors and never saw Aaron. And I remember talking with Matt. I was like, dang, that's too bad, because she seemed really cool and loved to hang out with her. And yeah, she was just gone.
And I was planning to, this was not my style at the time, nor is it now, don't worry, to give my phone number to them, to both of them. And I think part of it was I was still newish to the city. I mean, I guess I had lived in Minneapolis at that point for about a year. And, you know, like I said, I was there on my own. And so I thought, oh, these are guys who like the same music as me. Maybe it would be, you know, it'd be fun to have some concert going buddies. And then 6 months later, we got married.
So. Okay. Yeah. Back up. Aaron, what did you do when you didn't see him again?
I thought I looked for you. Maybe we just must, ships in the night, I guess, after the concert. But I went home, I think it was probably that night, and hopped onto Craigslist, Missed Connections, and I posted... I remember the subject line was Matt and Dan, the architects, because that was felt pretty specific.
Yeah.
So I posted something. Yeah. So I posted, maybe you remember, but I think it was just something, you know, I enjoyed meeting you two at this concert tonight. Would love to hang out more. If you see this, reach out.
Yeah. And I don't know how long it took me to find it. Do you remember?
I think it was within a day.
Really?
I was shocked. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, it could be. So I used to kind of browse around missed connections for entertainment value, because some of them are like really sweet and romantic. Some are funny. Some are kind of sad and heartbreaking.
Some are a little bit terrifying. Yeah.
Yeah. Yes, creepy. Yeah. It's like a real wide mix.
It's humanity.
I was just browsing around one night, and then boom, there it was, Matt and Dan, the architects. And I just was like, what? That's got to be me. I'm an architect. My friend Matt's an architect.
And you're hoping it's the person you wanted to hear from.
Yeah. What if it wasn't? That would have been really weird.
Yeah. It's like the person who you like bought the merch from, the Band of Horses merch.
Right.
And you're like,
Yeah. It was within 1 to 2 days. And you wrote me first. It wasn't. Yeah. It was you.
Oh, yeah. It was me.
Yeah. So I couldn't believe it worked. I was I had never posted a missed connection before. And it's not something that I think I read them sometimes for entertainment value as well, but it was mostly just, I didn't know how else to get in touch with them other than, yeah. I mean, we're in a big city, but it's small in many ways. So there was a good chance maybe I would have run into him again. And we also learned we lived just, what, 4 or 5 blocks from each other at the time.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
But then Erin had already had made plans to leave that apartment.
Oh, that's right.
So when we reconnected, she was actually farther away. But when we got together,
he helped me move though. And that's always a good sign of a keeper. Like we hadn't been together long and he was carrying all this stuff up 3 flights of stairs. He let my dog out.
That is love.
So, but yeah. It was fine.
This is such a cute story. And I think my assumption is that when you post on Missed Connections, and this is my own story, I'm telling myself, I know, but I wouldn't post on Missed Connections unless there was this like vibrational undertone of like, there's something more to this. Like this could be the beginning of a story. This could be the beginning of our story. And that's me as the hopeful romantic, right? How much of that was underneath your decision to post?
It's funny you mentioned that because I very distinctly remember seeing Dan for the first time. And I'd say in my life, and I don't, you know, maybe others feel the same way, but I feel like, you know, my best friend, I remember seeing her for the first time when I met her in college. But there are people who maybe are very important and meaningful to me now. And I don't remember like, oh yeah, we just kind of fell into each other's lives. But I remember talking to Matt first. And then he said, oh, and this is my friend Dan. And Dan kind of like emerged from the shadows. Like I didn't even see him next to Matt. And so he kind of came up. And I remember, this is going to sound silly or cheesy, but I remember being awestruck by how handsome he is. Yeah. No, I'm serious. Yeah. Because I felt like, whoa, that's a good looking guy right there. You know, because you notice the physical aspect first. And
now what else can you do?
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm. And so I remember being sort of like, taken aback. but I was telling myself at the time, I had just gotten out of a breakup not too long before. And I was very committed or telling myself that I was committed to, I just want friends to hang out with similar interests. And so, I mean, we started hanging out kind of immediately. As soon as we connected, it was, you know, I'm going to this concert in a few days. And I think I was already planning on going anyway. And so we decided to meet up. But then I think within a week after that, we started sort of hanging out, just the two of us. And, you know, we had dinner. And I think the whole time, for me anyway, it was like, I'm having dinner with my friend. And then
yeah,
he wasn't
me.
A friend.
No,
yeah.
No. Yeah. For me, I was completely interested in Erin from the moment I saw her and spoke with her.
Nice. Me too.
Yeah, that is nice. For those who post to Missed Connections, you know, we've heard from some of them in this show and they're still waiting and maybe they only do it once or they do it a couple times and, you know, they don't really get their hopes up, but, you know, it's better than doing nothing. Your situation is, I guess, uncommon. Not that we have too many stats on all this, but what do you say to someone who clicks post at the end of that Missed Connections ad?
Gosh, I will say, I know this isn't directly answering your question, but I was Dan's second Missed Connection. Someone else, he went on a date with someone else who had posted a Missed Connection about him.
Yeah.
I don't know, several months earlier.
Yeah, it was a handful of months earlier. And I honestly wasn't like trolling Missed Connections daily, hoping another one had come along.
I mean, I would if I had struck gold once, but yeah, go ahead.
Right. Yeah. But I thought like, there's no way that it could ever happen again. And boom, I guess for me, I try to take a very life is short approach, you know? And so like, we don't know, you may never find the person that you lost touch with. And in our case, we got really lucky that we did, but yeah.
Yeah. I think for someone who's posting now, I mean, what's the harm, you know,
yeah.
Like everyone lives on the internet. This is where you're going to connect with people. I mean, we were fortunate. It was 15 years ago and I mean, that feels sort of like lightning striking and maybe Missed Connections is even more crowded now. Like I said, I haven't been on there since then, but I think for anyone who's doing it, why not? You never know. Yeah. Like if there's someone you really feel connected to, maybe you'll run into them again in person, but what's the harm in putting yourself out there? You know, mm-hmm. never know.
Well, Aaron and Dan Kottke, thank you so much for talking with me.
Thank you for having us. It was fun.
Thanks for having us.
All right. Now I want to revisit our friend from the very beginning of the show, Ilya Blinderman. He analyzed data from over 10,000 missed connections ads, and I wanted to make sure all of us had a good takeaway. Some advice for how your missed connections ad could set you apart.
Nick Palmgarten of The New Yorker is one of my favorite writers, and he had a masterclass of a story in the early 2010s when he looked at online dating, the history and the developments. And he had mentioned at one point that writing well when you're contacting people via apps or platforms like OkCupid is kind of the equivalent of coming to a date in a black Mercedes. And I think there's something to that, in that if you can showcase a little bit of wit, a little bit of self-awareness, that's probably all that's necessary to, you know, raise the chances of making that misconnection stick. So I'd say that. I'd say there's probably no need to overthink it. Just be honest and try and be humble and showcase a little bit of humor.
Audacious is produced by me, Jessica Severin DiMartinez, and Katie Talarski at Connecticut Public Radio in Hartford. Subscribe to Audacious, and you'll always get to hear the show a day early. Plus, if you like this show about missed connections, you're probably going to love listening back to episodes about how a woman communicated her way out of locked-in syndrome using blinking, and what it felt like to find out at age 25 that you have an identical twin. You can hear all the places we go at ctpublic.org/audacious. Wherever you get your podcasts. Send me your reactions and show ideas on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Kyone Wolf. And my email is cwolf@ctpublic.org. Thanks for connecting. Red Speedos and a hockey mask. Come on, let's find that look.